Annyeonghaseyo! Welcome to Afternoona Delight, where Leah, Megan, and Amy, romance novelists and your K-romance guides. So grab some dekboki and listen to your new favorite unease.
All right. Hey, everybody.
Hello there. Well, that's usually Amy's line, but today it's just Leah, me, Megan, and we have a special guest, Jay Crownover. Hi, Jay.
Hello.
Yay.
So let me introduce Jay. So I first want to say I have known her for going on 10 years now. I met Jay when I was a baby author on Avon's digital imprint. And Jay was writing big girl books with HarperCollins. And but Jay was always very kind to me as kind of a newer author, especially with that group of big name authors. And I was always grateful for that. We've talked about the new adult genre a lot on this podcast. If you were around in the early, 2010s, you heard of Jay Crownover if you were reading new adult. She is the international and multiple New York Times and USA Today bestselling author of the Marked Men series, the Saints of Denver series, the Point series, Breaking Point series, the Getaway series, the Loveless Texas series, and the Forever Marked series. Her books can be found translated into many different languages all around the world. She is a tattooed, crazy-haired Colorado native who lives at the base of the Rockies with her awesome dogs. This is where she can frequently be found enjoying a cold beer at Taco Tuesdays. Jay is a self-declared music snob and outspoken book lover who is always looking for her next adventure between the pages and on the road. So thank you, Jay, for coming and joining us.
That's a great bio, too, by the way.
I wrote that.
That's yeah, mine. Well done. I like it. Are you a writer? That's good.
I like the regular standard stock one that came from my first publisher. It was kind of cute, but I was like, this is so boring. I was like, let me rewrite it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you've met Jay, her hair is usually colored. She is covered in tattoos. She is, loud and outspoken in a way that I personally love. And so this bio fits her, not a generic bio from a publisher.
I know it doesn't even have that rule's going to be a movie. I don't even have that in there that one of those books is going to be a movie. I guess I need to add that in.
Oh, well, this is. Well, why?
Please.
Let's just start there.
Yeah. Let's talk. Yeah. Because as I said, if you were around around the boom of the new adult genre, you heard of Rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Before COVID, it's always been sort of in the works in various forms that something was going to happen with the Marked Men series a couple years after I published it. But that process moves so much slower and is so more involved than I think people think. I think people see a book that sells a million copies or goes global and they're like, that's going to be made into a TV series or movie. And I say that after all this romanticy, fantasy stuff, that's literally happened to. But before that, that wasn't the case. If you were just writing romance and it had a big following, there was interest, but getting it past the interest phase to the people that will spend money phase was very, very arduous and would start and stop and start and stop. And then right before the pandemic hit, there was a big to-do happening and it was finally going to be this is a thing. And then COVID hit. And COVID hit everything, including Hollywood and streaming and everything. Mm. And all the people that were going to give the money and going to greenlight it either got laid off or the funding got cut. And so it didn't happen. But then a couple years after that, Voltage Films, who has been investing a ton and making a ton of new adult books into movies, became interested and connected with the producer that was attached to the project. And then things really started rolling. And ironically, the man who owns the head of Voltage is a French man. And the reason that they bought it and officially decided to make something of it is because my foreign readers, my French readership is so diehard and so loyal and has followed my career that this French gentleman, CEO, knew who I was and knew who my books were without any of the like following and fandom in the US. He knew simply based off the French following. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
I've seen kind of like the international readership of yours, and yeah, they're rabid.
Yeah. And then it was going to get produced and pushed out early this year, but then the strikes happened.
Oh my God.
So it's like this like little thing that is like always almost ready and almost, I mean, it's coming, but I swear every time it's like we get one step forward, we take 10 steps back because like, yeah. And then everybody's like, oh, well, what about this? And what about that? And I'm like, Hollywood was literally shut down for 6 months. Like, I don't know anything. I know nothing. I'm like, I feel like I'm going to just wake up one day and they're going to be like, hey, your movie's in the theater.
Great. So I do have, this is just me being curious. I'm assuming there is a script writer who will adapt your book.
Yeah, a screenplay writer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Her name is Sharon. She's lovely.
Yeah. Oh, so you like communicate with her?
Oh, yeah. I had final script approval, but script approval versus what you see is different. Like the script they take then gets modified by the director and then gets modified by the editor and then gets modified by the production house if nothing is like perfect. So it's like the final script I loved, and it was very, I always say it's not, they're not twins. Like my book and the script were never twins, mm-hmm. but they were definitely like first cousins or like half sisters.
Right.
But by the time it comes out, I think they become more like, you know, second cousins twice removed. Like right. They're still related, but not like as related as the script originally was.
That is so exciting. So you don't know much. You don't know yet because it still has to go through a lot about when it will be out. I'm assuming
Sometime this year. They keep saying for sure sometime this year. But like there's a like the main star is Chase Stokes. So he's got commitments to Netflix because he's in The Outer Banks. So I know for a fact, like he's filming that now. So like they're not going to put it out until he can promote it, because why would you not be able to promote it without your main star, you know?
That is incredible. I can imagine you're so excited. That's obviously a dream come true for me. So to have a movie.
It's very exciting, but it's very stressful because like I feel like it's not just my expectations that I have to worry about. It's like everybody's expectations. And it's like I have so little control. I'm like, I can't bear the weight of everything people will like and hate because I just can't do anything about it. Like if I could, you know, it would be a different story, but I have a lot of anxiety about being responsible for other people's feelings when there's nothing I can do, you know?
Yeah. And I think a book as popular as Rule was and still is, there are so many readers who feel complete ownership of those characters. I know.
But if I could interject just for anyone who's like new to like, you know, Jay and the books and stuff, mm-hmm. I did just do like a quick Google. And if you're interested in like following the release of the movie or anything like that, there is like an Instagram account it looks like you can go to, the @markedmenmovie.
Yeah. And it's all on my website. There's a whole movie section on my website.
And then, we'll throw that into our show notes too. So folks can go, and I'm sure people are going to be like clicking around, curious to learn more.
Yeah, it's been fun.
And it ain't a K-drama, but it's something.
All right, well, let's just get right into that then. So, you know, we started this being writers, romance writers, and in the pandemic, I'm not going to get into our origin story very long because folks do know it if they listen to us, but basically we just started watching K-dramas together for fun. And we were all lonely and bored. So Megan and Amy and I would text each other and just be like, have you seen this one? Or we started like analyzing the plots and we'd just be going back and forth. And we're like, ooh, let's do a podcast. So everyone knows our origin story. We would love to know your origin story of like, what got you into K-drama?
Well, so I wasn't into K-drama at first. I was into K-pop. So like,
all right, great.
2015, 2016. I was reading a series, I'm not going to remember the, a male-male series, mm-hmm. and the writer is half Korean, and the characters were, one was Japanese and one was Korean, and they were in Koreatown in LA, and they were in a club, and they were talking about like the music that was playing and the K-pop that was playing, and because I am crazy, like obsessive about stuff like that, I had to Google what the music was, and it was Big Bang.
Okay.
Yeah, I love Big Bang.
So Big Bang was your gateway into K-pop.
Yeah, I really, really liked G-Dragon. I thought
I was going to say, amazing. Who's your bias? Okay.
No, he's not, but I really liked him. So then I was like, okay, now this thing, I have to find out all the things and find out what I like. So like at the time, BTS was blowing up and I was like, oh, you know, this is fun. They're cute. Like, but I was like, I don't ever like choose the safest thing. So I went from Big Bang to BTS to EXO to NCT. And when I fell into NCT, I was like, this is my home. Like okay. They're loud and they're innovative and they're weird. And they were like, I don't know. They were like the punk rock kids of K-pop at the time. So then, you know, some of the members had songs for K-dramas. And I was like, oh, well, now I got to go watch what K-drama these songs are for. Oh. And then literally that's how I fell into it. And because Cora Carmack's my best friend and she's into fantasy, I was like, well, there's all these fantasy romances you would probably love. And so like I would spend like a week at her house and we would binge watch through all these fantasy romances, which wouldn't be my first pick, but she loved them. So then it just like kept going and going and going. So I didn't get into the dramas for the drama at first. I got into it for the music.
So Cora likes the, which I've met Cora Carmack too, or I think Leah probably has too. We are also fans of Cora. And we've mentioned Cora's books on this podcast before. So
yeah.
And so she likes the fantasy K-dramas, basically.
Yeah. The first one we watched all the way through, which still remains in my top 10 favorites of all time, is Korean Odyssey. I don't know if you guys have seen that yet. It's like Lee Sung-gi when he was really young, like way before military enlistment, way before he was like blew up and got really famous. Uh-huh. He is a demon and the girl can see ghosts. And like, I don't want to ruin it. It's really long. It's like one of those like 28, 36 episode K-dramas, but it's supernatural and fantasy, but it's like based on a real Korean myth. But yeah, it's really good. But it, as K-dramas do, doesn't have a definite happy for now or happy ever after, which I think is something like as romance writers, you really have to get used to when you watch any form of Asian drama. Like if you watch Japanese dramas, they will kill everyone. They will kill the mom. They will kill the baby. They will kill the dog. They will kill the neighbor. Like if you were attached to anyone, too bad. You never know if they're going to end up together at the end.
Yeah, we've had to get used to that too. And we have listeners too. We have to like tell them, like, they want to know, is there a happily ever after? Is there an HEA in this drama? I'll wait to watch until I know. Cause we have some listeners who just don't want a non-HEA and totally get it. Totally get it.
I mean, sometimes I could stand it and like it's all right, but like, I don't know. Did you watch 2125?
Yes, I did.
Ending was garbage.
I know. Like,
fuck this. So
that
mad.
Ending was garbage. And I understand there were some people who defended it. I would say me and most of our listeners like agreed. Like no one, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
It was terrible. It was awful.
Well, it was such a good drama that up to that point. So the ending, correct, was garbage. And and it just was frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, and it aired at the same time as Our Beloved Summer, which was amazing and had the perfect ending. So, like,
it did have a good ending. Yeah. When finding the drawing in Our Beloved Summer. Yeah. It's not really a spoiler because if you didn't watch it, you wouldn't know. But
I'm a big spoiler. So, you have to stop me if I start to do that.
It's okay. It's okay. It happens. So a lot of times, too, we'll put in the show notes if we spill something. But so.
Oh, so you said G-Dragon was my bias. I have to say no, because Taeyong is.
Yeah, MTV. Okay, that's what I was. Yeah,
I love him more than I love anything. And I've never, ever loved, like, a celebrity, but I adore him. I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars to go see him live for no reason, because I'm an adult, and I have adult money.
Right?
Oh, no. Megan got... So when I first got into K-drama, I got into K-drama first, and Megan kept talking about K-pop, and I was like, look, I look over there, there's a lot going on, it feels very busy, and I just don't feel like I've got the bandwidth to commit to the busyness that's happening. And then I did. And so, yeah, I think that, I think Megan and I, and also Amy, have all really gotten into Korean music, too, and definitely have spent shit burgers of money.
Yeah, I mean, I will actually say, I don't know if I've said this on the pod, but J. Crowniver's the reason I got into K-pop. So
I am the mayor of NCT.
You are. It's you are, because Like, you're the reason my whole life has
taken.
Well,
that makes sense because you started with Taeyong, too.
I started with Taeyong. Our Slack, like, so we talk in Slack about the podcast.
Okay, this makes a lot of sense to me now.
My profile pic is Taeyong. So
yeah.
I knew who Blackpink was. I obviously, like, knew peripherally about K-pop. And then J Crown ever posted a reel on Instagram. And it was a K-pop idol swinging from a chandelier. And I watched this reel over and over again. And I'm like, who is that? What song is this? What group is he a part of? That one single reel sent me on a deep dive I have never recovered from.
I think that happens, though. Like,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, it was from the Make-A-Wish video. That was the song by NCTU.
I mean, I like K-pop, too, after I started listening to it, because when I write, I can't write to something that doesn't fit what I'm writing. So, like, I really like Americana. Like, that's, like, you know, like, Jason Isbell and American Aquarium and Brandi Carlile. Like, I really like that. But, you know, those are, like, songs that talk about the world that we're in and, like, what's going on and how horrible everything is. Or, like, you know, I really like Tom Petty. So, like, if those don't fit with what I'm writing, I don't have to worry about that with K-pop because I don't understand half of it. It's all really fast and upbeat. Like, it's all interesting sounds that even if I'm not following along, like, it's easy for me to write to. So I guess it's like the equivalent of somebody else listening to like classical, I guess, because that's what Cora writes to, is mostly just like classical or music. And like, so I find that very easy for me to write to if I'm listening to music. But usually I write to murder TV. Like 90% of the time I just turn on Investigation Discovery and write to people getting murdered.
Yes. Yes. I'm the true crime girly of the podcast as well. But yeah. I love NCT. I still love NCT, but I went full 80s. I'm an 18.
They were one of the first groups I saw. I saw them when they were babies.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I saw them when they were doing showcases for Pirate King. They were like, that was before Hong Jun was a captain. He was still a leader.
Babies. Oh my gosh, I'm so jealous. Yeah, I've seen them live both times in New Jersey. I've seen them at the Prudential Center. And then Leah is ARMY. And I flew out to California for one night to see Suga when he had his solo tour. And a bunch of our listeners went.
I saw BTS at Citi Field on my 40th birthday because I felt like I couldn't. It was a surprise show. So I felt like I couldn't pass up the chance to see them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen everybody I really like, except like the girl groups. I've seen like 17, if you ever get a chance to see 17.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of K-pop acts, including my absolute faves. There are a few that are better than 17 live. Ugh. Like, they are amazing.
We are big 17 fans as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. So I'd say the girl groups, like, there's a few that I like. There's some that I just haven't gotten into that are really popular. And that's not like a shade on them. Like Twice, I've just never connected to, for example.
Oh, I love Twice.
I like ITZY. So I'm seeing ITZY and I'm really excited for that. But Mamamoo is my girl group and I love them so much. And seeing them live, I think, was like a religious experience for me.
Yeah. I mean, those are women. Like, I think that's the difference.
That's the thing.
In K-pop, there's women and there's girls. Like, Mamamoo are women.
Yeah. And I do prefer women.
Yeah. I prefer women.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have any, like, I like aespa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like aespa.
I like G-Idol. I like the lead girl in, I really, really like, I don't know if you could classify him as K-pop, but I really, really like XG. Like, if I had to pick a favorite girl group, I really, really like XG. Because they're just so weird. They're like Japanese girls that sing Korean, but like all of them speak English. Like, they're when they talk about being a global group, like, they are definitely it. But I think they're interesting and innovative.
Yeah, I agree. I'm like you. I like performers.
Yeah.
So if I'm entertained, and I think that's what I love so much about Taeyong, he's an entertainer for, I think, before anything. Like, he just knows how to entertain. And so that's always going to be, you know.
Yeah. He's pretty spectacular on stage. Like, he did a bunch of solo stages when I saw him with Super M. And I was like, this boy could have a career without 23 children.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah, I will say NCT still fits within like my general K-pop. So that's not a shade. It's just like, again, when I look over at NCT, I'm like, there's a lot going on. Yeah. I can pay attention to him and that's about it. And then I'm like, okay, that's a lot for me.
I mean, even I like him and I like Mark, but like, I don't really follow NCT Dream because they're all so young and like, that's weird to me. And like most of fourth gen and like fifth gen, like I can't like really get into it aside from ATEEZ because I just happened to start following them pre-debut. Like they're so young. So like most of what I listen to sticks in third gen, like 17. And yeah. I mean, I still like EXO and
yeah,
I mean,
so my daughter, I've got
BTS,
like
but their fans terrify me, so I tend just not to fuck with anything BTS.
No, it's all good. We actually have a spinoff for this podcast that's called Afternoon Army, and it's for mature age army.
Oh, so that's cute.
Yeah,
I love that.
Our tagline is "Thinky Thirsty and Over 30." Yeah, and like, yeah, I'm a hard Suga bias. Like, it's really like my personality.
I mean, at least he's an adult.
Yeah, you know what? We're just. Something that has impressed upon me in our K-drama, K-pop journey, and I don't mean this to be gross. I really don't. But the floor has just kept going down. And I can't, like, I remember I used to be like, oh, God, like, definitely, like, 34, ugh, like, beyond that. And now, like, I'm like, Rowoon, whatever. Like, we're just going to
I love him.
we're just going to like what we like. And I've just kind of put it in that place of like, you know, like the no kink shaming. Like, I'm like, look, I'm not crawling into this person's HVAC system to like hunt them down, you know, like.
I really like Song Kang too. And he's super.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Yep. So, yep. You know, like, it's just, it's fine.
We accept it all. Well, so I am curious, Jay, what K-dramas you gravitate towards, because you said like Cora really likes like the fantasy, so like I guess if you're reading like a K-drama blurb, what are like keywords that are and tropes that are gonna make you be like, yes, I want to watch that one?
I really like this last year 2023 had great, like, I didn't watch a ton of romance ones.
That's okay, we don't only cover romance.
No, yeah. But like I watched The Killing Vote and it was amazing. The lead girl was the girl that was the main bully in The Glory. She mm-hmm. was phenomenal in it. And I watched what was the one? The Killing Game? The one where they're all playing mafia. They're all kids, like it's a teenage one.
Oh yeah.
All, yep. I mean, I'm sure if you watch K-drama or follow K-pop, you know the mafia game where somebody's a killer, somebody's a police, but it's real life. So like the class is all dying. That was amazing. Yeah, my favorite K-drama, like the one that I watched, like I'm not a big rewatcher, but the one I will rewatch, I really, really loved Happiness with Kunsik. Yes. Like, that's one of my top favorites. And like romance wise, my top favorite one is, I don't know. I mean, I like all the classics. Like I like Secretary Kim, okay. And like, I really liked the one where he was an actor and she was like his PR person and like he was down bad for her, but she didn't know it. Shooting Stars, I think it was called.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to watch. There's one out now that also has Park Hunsik in it, who I
really like right
very
now.
Much. Yeah. Dr. Slump. I want to watch that when it's done.
So I will say I am liking that one because Megan hasn't started. I haven't wanted to push it because medical dramas have been dicey in our group.
Oh, really?
And here's the plot.
I'm not a big fan.
Megan's not a big fan. And weirdly, like, because what I've learned, and this is going to be a question I have for you in a second, but something I learned in K-drama is, like, there's things I was like, oh, I don't like this. And then I learned that's bullshit. I actually do like it. I just somehow thought I didn't. And one was office romance. I thought I didn't like office romance. Apparently I do. I was just like, ew, like, photocopiers just sound, like, not sexy. Fluorescent lights don't sound sexy. I don't care. I like it. And then I thought, like, medical romances. I was just like, no, like, I, like, even, like, you know, like, the, like, old-fashioned, like, subgenre of, like, medical, like, Harlequin romances and stuff. There's no shade to that. Like, Godspeed it. It just was, like, never my bag. Yeah. Now I really like it. But I'm going to say, just before I ask my question, Dr. Slump, my plug to Megan specifically here is, so I write sports romance. And I tend to do like romance and then there's like a little sporties on the side. This is very much the same. So it's basically like they start by both burning out or having a catastrophe. So they're doctors, not doctoring.
That's great. Hence that is so slump. Up my alley.
Yes. So you get Park Young-sik not being a doctor. He's not doing liver transplant. He's actually a plastic surgeon. But, great. You know, like it's not like hospital playlist. It's not like plastic or it's not like hospital playlist. So my question to you, Jay, is what has there been anything within watching K-drama that like you were like, oh, I don't really like that, or I don't like this is not my thing. And then you were like, actually, I kind of really like this.
I mean, I guess like I like the ones where they're older women, younger guys, if they're done really well, like Why Her, I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
There's one where she's like an exorcist and the guy, I can't remember what it's called, like something real estate, like they deal with ghosts and she's significantly older than him. I really like that one.
Yeah.
I like, I'm not much of an age gap fan just in general. Like I'm not against it. It's just not what I gravitate towards. It's not like something that I'm like, okay. Yes.
See, I love that. I do love an age gap.
But you found in dramas, though, you liked it.
Yeah. The Nuna romance, as they call them.
Yes. The Nuna. I mean, so you're into a Nuna. Yeah.
All the guys that are like, they're all so young. So they're putting them with actresses like the one that's in the Marry My Husband right now. That's the famous.
Yes.
Like, so they're putting all these guys with these women because the women like still look great, but they're all in their 30s and the dudes are like 22 and 20. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. all of them, Song Kang, Ruwan, mm-hmm. the one that just went to the military. That's really cute. That's he was in Glory too. He was the main lead against Song Haikyo. Like their age gap is like what, 10 years? Like yeah. So
yeah. I mean, what was his name? The Dong. Oh my god. I'll look it up
because they were dating in real life.
No, he's dating the other girl.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. Yes, he was dating the bully in real life. Sorry.
Yeah, you're right. He did just go into the military. But he's
Ido-hyun. Ido-hyun.
Yeah, that's it. Ido-hyun. He's in either like a movie or something coming up. And I've seen shots of it. First of all, he has a ponytail,
tattoos?
Short and the tattoos. Yeah. He looks like a totally different guy. I'm so excited. I'm so excited because he's great.
Oh, I think one of my favorites, since we're talking about Song Kang, I love Nevertheless. So like angst, like really angsty, like will there or won't they romance? Or Dununa, whatever it was. What
Duna,
is it?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I love that too.
I do want to talk about this because you did like get like, you know, your big start in New Adult.
Yeah.
Duna, Megan and I loved Duna. We have not
and
seen
Amy.
And Amy. We have not seen Nevertheless yet. And I feel
like
it gets panned hard, and I think I would like it because I am always gonna love messy new adult. So I want to
non-romance people probably wouldn't like it, but everybody that's in romance, reader, writer, will like it. It is a cut and dried, angsty, bad boy, tortured romance. Like it is.
I think we need to watch it.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Is there an HF?
There is
happy
a happy
for now.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Like he is a classic tortured new adult hero, and she is a classic conflicted new adult heroine, making terrible choices.
See, I love
and it's sexy. It's way sexier than most young adult K-dramas.
Yeah, I think we just need to pull it out and just like, because the thing is it's hard because there's just always so much coming. And sometimes it's like hard to be like, look, we're just going to hit pause and like jump back like a year or two or more. But I really feel like Nevertheless just keeps calling my name, especially after Duna.
I mean, there's a lot of really good K-dramas that get a bad rap either from K-nets or people that are just like expecting one thing and like, you know.
Yeah, we love Duna, all three of us. And part of it is because to us, Duna was so classic new adult.
It is.
Like, and that's why we liked it. Because
minus
like,
the kind of open speculative ending.
Yeah, yeah. Which we have our take on it. We all think actually it's an HEA. But like, but you know, that's our interpretation. So it's definitely not, you know, canon, I guess. But
it is canon. They released the after scene never mind. That's spoilers. But anyway, it is canon that it's a happy ever after.
Yeah, that's what we think. So, but yeah, it was funny because I think there were some people who were like, oh, I was just frustrated with these characters. And it's like, yeah, because they're like, they're like 20 years old. Like, you know, they're making 20-year-old decisions. That is what they were doing. And I realize that can be frustrating. And maybe that's not for everyone. But for us, it felt, because again, Amy and Lee and I, we all got into publishing, writing new adult. Well, for the most part, that was our first published book. But so like, we love new adult. We're always going to have a soft spot. And that's the thing about Duna is I felt like it took me back, you know, to like.
Yeah. What Cora and I talked about, like when we first started watching K-dramas that were specifically romance, like Secretary Kim, we were both like, these are like literally the Korean entertainment industry took romance tropes that I'm sure that that's not what they are to them. And we're just like, we're going to give you exactly that in a show that's like one season. So it's like a book, like. I was like, this is crazy. Like, how come the United States doesn't do this? Like,
this has been our perennial question. And again, no shade to like Hallmark. Again, if you're a Hallmark, you know, girly or guy-y and that's your thing, like great for you. Like, truly, I don't mean that like condescending, like great for you. But I'm just saying that like this hits different. And that's why we're stuck here.
What I always use as my references before I started listening to K-pop or watching K-dramas, I was watching Thailand BL's boy love dramas.
Oh, like, we watch those too. Yep.
Yeah,
they've been around since like forever. So
yeah,
I don't know, because they were always on YouTube, I guess. So like I would, you know, when I was younger, I would watch them on YouTube. And like all the rise of like, you know, equality and LGBTQ content, I'm like, these have been going, and now it's like the equivalent of K-pop in Thailand. All these boys are like super cute and they're joining companies and they're like,
and they even have like bombs, like little light sticks for them.
I read an article that said it's bringing into Thailand like the equivalent of what K-pop brings into Korea. And considering those size populations, like that's crazy. But like nobody here is making, in the US is producing that kind of content. I mean, they kind of are with what Red, White, and Royal Blue and like some of the stuff on Netflix.
Yeah.
But like the consistently turning out something that's profitable to foreign, us being foreign, market. And like nobody here is doing that. It blows my mind. Like I wish I could go back in time and learn Thai because I could write those Thai BL novels in my sleep and it for sure would be turned into a show.
We say this all the time. Like Leah and I are like, we could do this. Like someone hire us because we could help be churning out those Thailand BLs.
Well, so okay, because when Megan or not Megan, when Amy and I like before like we got so our my version of Thai BL total completely different, please like the caveat, was that we went through a heavy CW phase where we were just watching like everything on the CW because it was
like the 100 and all of that stuff.
Heart of Dixie, just like all that kind of stuff that was just like very, very tropey. And then we started to just be like, let's just like plot out CW shows. Like we got into Arrow. Like there was just a lot of ones that we were like into for a while, but it was the trope, like TV's getting certain tropes pretty good. And I mean,
I think CW, I'm like, that was Buffy, right? Like, I think that's, like, that's Buffy, I'm pretty sure, was on, or Veronica Mars, weren't those CW?
It probably was. So I went through, like, a phase of phase where A, didn't live in the country and missed, like, I think I missed foundational periods of stuff. So, like, Buffy, Veronica Mars, I'm sure I would have loved all of it. I just wasn't here during some of it. So I do have like knowledge gaps of like some pop culture stuff.
Have you never watched Veronica Mars?
I have not.
Oh my God.
I haven't either.
I don't care what else you do. Both of you? I don't care what else you do. But sometime in the next year, you got to sit down and binge through Veronica Mars.
Okay. We will.
Okay, fair.
We will. Well, you know,
but not the movie, not the root. Don't watch.
Yeah,
the movie.
I've heard the movie.
Yeah,
you know what? I'm almost
the first
positive.
Movie. The Kickstarter, of the first movie. You can watch that, but not the last one. Like the very, very last one. Don't do that.
Just pretend it doesn't exist. I'm almost positive Amy has seen them, though. I'm almost positive.
You have to. I mean, Buffy, you should like legally be required to have seen all 7 episodes of Buffy.
Yeah,
but. Like, as romance people, like, Veronica Mars is one of the best teen romance, like, trajectories there is until that stupid last season.
That's good
to
know.
That last movie.
Okay. Yeah. No, see, I got in, like, Vampire Diaries was a thing for me. I'm trying to think of, like, other kind of, like, I don't know.
Yeah, see, so, like, I think CW, probably those shows, are the closest we've ever gotten to kind of like the tropey, like a K-drama-like. But then again, those were more episodic. So they
and when you make seasons, we've talked about how like the seasons, like the problem with doing the seasons is that you end up having to like, like break people up, mess it all up. Like, whereas it's really nice to just get these like 16 episodes, 8 episodes, 12 episodes, 21 episodes, but whatever. Just like normally the 16 episode, you're going to get like your whole arc, you're going to get your hit, and then you're going to just be on to the next one. Yeah. And I really don't know why we
don't
want to
invest 7 seasons. Like, I'm watching Fargo right now because I'm on deadline, and it's, you know, it's, I had never watched it before, and I just finished True Detective, and somebody was like, oh, if you really like True Detective, you'll like Fargo. And I am enjoying it because it's not 5 seasons of the same people. Like, it's, you know, just why I like True Detective.
We say that all the time about you know, why aren't we doing something like that here, especially with the popularity of K-dramas, and also like Thai BLs. I mean, those companies have that down to a science now.
I mean, even Korean BLs are like really blowing up right now. Like, they're not as good as the Thai ones, but I mean, some of them are. But
did you watch The Eighth Sense?
Is that the new one that just came out?
No. This one came out
last year. Yeah.
It's the surfers.
Okay.
Yeah.
That one. I love that one.
The new one that just came out is really good with I'll spoil it if I say anything, but what's it called?
The one I watched recently was Love for Love's Sake.
That's it.
Okay, I loved it. Yeah. That was so good. Did you watch it?
I did. It's very good.
I loved it. I loved it so much. I thought, you know, look, I just love the creativity of, okay, we're only going to do like 8 episodes, but we're going to hit you with like some plot and some cool characterization. Like, and you know what I mean? It's like
the rebirth trope in all of Asian media is one of my favorites. Like the rebirth, like having a second chance to.
Yeah.
I wrote a book called The Best Bad Things that's loosely tied around the idea of getting a redo in life like that, which I probably wouldn't have written if I hadn't been watching.
Yeah, so I think that's the next question, right, Megan? Like, kind of like, where do you feel like you've gotten some plot inspiration? Like, what elements of watching this kind of content do you feel like has kind of bled even like very obscurely into your own process?
I was telling Megan when we first connected that currently I'm writing kind of like a gothic thriller, but at the center of it is a marriage of convenience, a contract marriage. And I never write about married couples or weddings or marriage. I'm just not interested in it. Like, I don't find that like an exciting thing to include in all the things that you can write about. So I would have never had the idea to put two people together, like opposite people, because I generally write opposites attract or like some kind of different, like people that shouldn't be together. I like to put them together. And like for these two people, the only way to do that would be like through a contract. So I probably wouldn't have come up with a contract of marriage if I hadn't watched a billion of them in K-dramas. And the mom in this book of the guy is horrible, horrible, horrible.
Yes. Oh, amazing.
She wants to marry him off to somebody of his stature and somebody that can add to the family. And like that very classic K-drama. Yeah, but I mean, I also think that is very classic old money too, like Saltburn. Like, I don't think it's like, you know, specific to K-drama, but I probably wouldn't know how to make her that awful if I hadn't been watching all those K-dramas.
I love that. Because we've done, like I did a reincarnation book. Of course, mine was like with monsters, because that's what I'm writing right now, like monsters and aliens. But yeah, I did like a reincarnation book. I was like, it's like reincarnated fated mates. And it was serious. I was like, I have been watching, I think it was at the time when I was watching Love Between Fairy and Devil, which is a C drama, which is just like amazing fantasy romance, like absolutely epic. And I was just like, oh my God, I want to write reincarnation. I want to write it so bad. And so that's what I did.
That C drama had like a billion views in like the first 2 episodes, like, which is crazy to think about because, you know, there's so many more people in China than here. I actually really liked a lot of tropey romance C dramas until the censors, the Chinese like government, decided that like they're so boring now, like they can hardly hold hands, they can barely hug, like they're so like fade to black, which is fine, but like that's not my preference if I'm watching a romance, you know, like
Yeah, we actually talk a lot on this podcast about kind of like the heat level of K-dramas.
And it's changed a lot. Like in the last like 4 or 5 years, like the stuff is way sexier now than it was when it was before, like Viki and people were buying Viki or IKEA, or before that stuff was on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Like it was nowhere near like as sexy as it is now, because it had to get through Korean broadcasting standards. But now they're making stuff that doesn't. It's coming directly to
like a
foreign audience. So it's Duna is way sexier than most idol dramas. Like Suzy, the girl that's the main girl in that, she used to be a legit big name K-pop idol. Like she didn't even kiss the dude in Vagabond. Like she hardly has any like contact with people in her dramas.
Oh, see, I've seen her in a couple things, but Duna was incredibly sexy. Sexy. When we talked about that drama, their first kiss with like the ice shattering, I'll never stop talking about that. That was an amazing first kiss scene. I loved it.
The guy, Super Junior. Siwon?
Troy Siwon.
Yeah. Like he very, very rarely has any kind of physical contact with anyone in K-dramas because he's a bajillionaire in real life. There's some that are still real, real censored and like still really like aware of like their overseas presence and stuff. But I think a lot of stuff, well, watch Nevertheless and you'll see, because the girl in Nevertheless is Han So-hee.
Yeah. We love her.
Yeah.
Yeah. In My Name, she got.
Yeah, We're My Name. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so it's her and Song Kang in bed all the time.
So how do you feel about, I guess, like the sexiness of K-dramas? Like, do you want to see more, or does it like depend? Do you not really care? Or like,
care.
How do you feel?
I mean, I don't care depending on like the story. I'm like that with everything though. Like if I'm reading a romance novel, like I want it to be a romance novel. So like if I'm reading erotica, I want it to be erotica. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I want to get what I'm advertised. Like, pretty much is it. Like, if I'm reading a horror novel or a thriller and, like, a couple's romantic life plays into the plot, sure, give it to me. But if it's, like, you know, I'm reading that hungry, hungry caterpillar I don't need. Like, you know what I mean? I just want to...
Caterpillar is hungry.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I just want to get... Okay, like, if I picked up a monster romance and it was, like, just two people and not Godzilla and Mothra, I would be really annoyed.
Yeah, he's got to be a monster. He's got to have fangs or something.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm indifferent. As long as it's like what I'm expecting, like what I mean, what is advertised. So that's the other problem with 2125. Like it started out, they were like, this is a youth romance. And then they changed it and they were like, this is a slice of life drama. And they were like, at the end, they were like, melodrama. And I'm like,
yeah,
fuck you.
I actually felt the same. I think I did a podcast on that drama with a host from our sister pod, and her name's Sarah, and that's one thing that we talked about was we felt that we were given a false premise of what this drama
was. Totally a bait and switch.
Yeah, based on the promo material for this drama, We were promised something that was not what the drama was. So I don't know if there's like a disconnect between the marketing team and like the people who produced that drama, but it was completely out of sync. And so I totally get what you mean. Like it just kind of like give me what I guess you promise, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have the whole thing.
I'm pretty indifferent until as long as it's what I'm like expecting. Like I don't mind like, you know, Did you watch Alice in Borderland? Did you watch the end of Alice?
No, I did not.
Man, I want you guys not watching all the best stuff?
I know. I know. Veronica Mars. I know.
Yeah,
I know. I haven't watched Alice in Borderland yet.
But there's a big like twist at the end of Alice in Borderland that like I don't think you would expect coming. And they just announced they're going to do a season 3, which shouldn't be feasible with that big twist. So I'm curious to see how, like, so I don't mind stuff like that. If there's like a big aha moment that like feeds into something else. But like I said, it's a monster romance. It needs a monster.
Yeah. I feel it.
Yeah.
So do you have like a go-to fave? Like, you know, I'm not going to make you, if you have like an ultimate bias, fantastic. But, you know, is there somebody that like, you know, do you have a harem essentially? Of like, these are like guys, girls, I don't really care. Just like, who's your harem?
I really like, man, I'm not great with names, which is also the same thing with books. I'll be like, you know, the book where this,
you know what?
This happened, but I don't remember the title.
We can help you out, and I've got Google at the ready.
Yeah.
So I really like the guy that was in My Kingdom that wasn't Lee Min-ho. He was the guy that played the twins. He's got the prettiest face
Uda
ever.
Uda Wan.
I love him.
Oh, I love him too.
I would like him to be in a really like dark romance. I love him. I really like Ruwan, and I really like Song Kang. I really like Park Hunsuk, obviously. Mm-hmm. He's probably my favorite.
So you like pretty. You really like pretty.
I do. Obviously, that's Taeyong's my bias. You have to have like but the Kingdom guy, what's his name? What'd you say his name was?
Uda Wan.
His face almost is as good as Taeyong's face. Like, it's real close. He's got a really, really good face. I really like the girls. Like, I really like Han So-hee. And I really like the girl that was opposite Song Kang in My Demon.
Oh, yeah. She was from Love in the Moonlight, too.
Yeah.
Hang on.
And I like everybody that was in... It was on Amazon. It just finished airing the... what is it called?
Kim Yoo Jung is My Demon.
Like he jumped off a building and then
Death's Game.
Yeah, Kim Dami was the Reaper.
Oh, so, she was so good.
Yeah, both of them. But the guy in that is always good in whatever he's in.
That's
or something.
So In Gook.
Yeah,
and I loved Death's Game.
Great.
That was so good. We're gonna be doing an episode on it.
Older actors that I like. Oh, I really like the guy that was the cop in Squid Game. He was amazing.
Cop in Squid
Game? He's been in a bunch of stuff then.
He was in Prison Playbook.
Yeah.
I know.
And the really
Park
tall Hae-soo. Guy. The really, really tall guy that's the taller than everyone that was in The Alchemy of Souls. I like him too.
Oh. Kim Jae-hook. Kim Jae-hook.
Yeah.
We
he's
loved
like
9 feet
tall.
We loved Alchemy of Souls here. Oh my God. We loved it.
We loved it.
Yeah. So you watched Alchemy of Souls?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't, but you just know.
No, I don't really like the fantasy and the historic ones. I'll watch them with Cora, but
that's okay.
That's not my go-to.
Alchemy of Souls. I mean, that's historical and fantasy for sure. So. Yeah.
And
but
I
the
think
the girl
I'm like,
that in that is great. She's the one that's in My Demon.
Yeah.
Right?
Or
I think that's the same girl.
No.
Oh.
But they do look similar. I will agree.
Oh, the girl that's in is she the girl that's in Healer? Is that her?
No, it's Park.
I don't remember.
Park Min-young. Yeah, I forget.
See, I don't remember names of anything. I could just remember like the things that happen.
Yeah, you're like, I remember I jumped off the building.
Yeah, but you knew what I was talking about.
I did. So
she was in Death's Game, who you're thinking of from Alchemy of Souls, who played
was she the girl? His
one
girlfriend.
Of the version. Well, there were two. No. So in Alchemy
she
of Souls.
She was his girlfriend.
Yeah, so in Alchemy of Souls, we have the heroine is played by two different actresses.
That's it. Know. Yeah.
I just know he's in it. Yeah.
Yep. So what I just want to go back to Uda Wan because I love him and we're going to talk about him, but I love him. He's one of my absolute favorites. When I saw him in King Eternal Monarch and he played himself as just insane. I loved him so much. Or he played like two different people, whatever.
Yeah. I've never seen him do funny. So it was interesting to see him be like a funny character.
Right. So one thing he's in, which is an older drama, it's called Tempted.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's got Joy from Red Velvet.
Oh, you have seen it? Okay, then you know. Because I was like,
he's a very naughty boy in it.
Oh, very. I mean, it was not my favorite drama by any means, but he was equal parts like sexy, pathetic, bad. Like just he ran the gamut.
I think that was before they knew how to like write that kind of script. But if you like that, watch Nevertheless.
Yeah, I was like, Tempted was a new adult. But also, it felt like one of those really edgy new adult dark romance novels. Like, yeah, very much.
That's another one. Joy's really famous and Red Velvet's really famous. Yeah. But I think it couldn't go as far as it might have
because yeah, that makes
she
sense.
Was the lead actress in it.
Yeah. So my Udawan thing that like sticks for me when you were talking about reels you've watched a lot. So the clip I've watched probably more than maybe any clip. And so, Jay, I'm not trying to woman-splain to you if you know this, but like I'm just putting this out there into the universe just in case anyone doesn't know. It is. So I have a thing. One of my kinks is fingers in the mouth. I just like a finger in the mouth. It just works for me. And so this is him going up to a cake. And he just dips his finger like straight through the frosting, kind of gets a little bit of the crumb on it, and then just like gets his fingers like all the way in and just sucks his fingers clean.
But he makes drama a face. From?
No, it's not from a drama. It's just him living his life. Oh, it's just Google.
Just
Google Udo Juan no, Jay, licking his fingers.
I will find this reel if it takes me all night and send it
no,
to you.
No, I just looked it up to see and I found like 20,000 hits of it. Like, okay. You literally just Google it and you will see it.
It's from, he's in the shot, he's like clearly at some sort of like birthday celebration. And in the shot is one of his co-stars from Tempted. So I think it's back from Tempted time.
I really want them. Like, I think it's like his choice. Not, I know he just did a romance, like a historical one, but like, I really want him to do a modern, sexy romance. Like, I'm sure it's choices he's making on purpose, but I hate that choice.
Yeah, I know. So I watched the historical one and I watched it for him and only him. It was not my favorite drama. It was fine, but it was not. And the romance was such a dud. And the thing is, I thought he had better chemistry with like his sister. They like introduced this woman as his sister. And I was
like, You've got me hooked now.
Yeah, he had better chemistry with the sister. And then he was in Bloodhounds, which
I didn't watch that for some reason. He's a boxer, right?
Sort of. He basically is getting revenge for like his mother, sort of, but like it's like a whole thing where he teams up with another fighter and they just beat the shit out of people for like 8 episodes. I mean, that's literally all they do. He's bloody all the time. I mean, I will say that there's a workout montage where he's wearing he's wearing literally nothing but like tiny silk like red shorts. They look like the Marine shorts, you know, they call them.
I mean,
like,
I could
silky.
Just find that probably.
Yeah, just honestly, don't bother watching the. I mean, Bloodhounds was fine, but there was like, honestly, there was like drama within the shooting schedule because there was like an actress who like messed up and then they had to cut her scenes. So I think the drama like suffered because of that. But if you just watch the workout montage, I highly recommend that. But that's not really like he had no romance.
The girl that's the young version of the girl that gets bullied in The Glory. And she's the main girl in Revenge of Others. Like, she's pretty young. She's amazing in everything she's in. I don't know her name, but she's great. And Revenge of Others was awesome for like a teen romance murder mystery. It's got very pretty people all throughout. And it's got two boys in it that kiss.
Ooh, Revenge of... Oh, Park Solomon's in it. I love him.
Yeah.
That came out in 2022, I see. Okay, good to know.
It's
I really
fantastic.
Like him.
Fantastic.
Yeah, So Park Solomon was in All of Us Are Dead, which is one of my top favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I need a season 2 ASAP.
When is it? I thought that was happening like... I need that to just like tell us the release date.
Hurry up. We're like ready for it. Let's go. Okay, so I like your list. That's a good list.
Oh,
I do think.
And the guy that's in True Booty, not Cha En-woo, the other guy that doesn't get the girl,
he's
super hot and awesome and all the things he's in. He's the main lead in Why Her, which is the age gap romance. I like him a lot too.
I love that you love
With
age gap.
His little mullet.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he does a mullet. I like a well-done mullet, and he does a well-done mullet.
Then you should buy his Taeyong, because he pioneered the K-pop mullet.
Like, I like him fine. Like I said, I have
you
nothing
do.
Against
you actually,
him.
You,
I do. I have,
you have
sent Megan
me,
plenty of real.
Yeah, you have. Of Taeyong. You have. You're like, that's the one that caught your eye.
Which, yeah, I mean, he's a beautiful angel. There's no, you know, like, come on.
Also does a very nice K-pop bullet.
Who? He does. Hongjoon.
Oh, yes, he does. He does. He also does a great mullet. So, yeah, I love that you love pretty boys, and I love that you love Nuna romances. It's like we got you pegged.
I do. Yeah, there's so like, I don't know. Like, I can't think of anything. I do want to watch the one you're watching, the Dr. Slump, but I can't think of anything else. Oh, I kind of want to watch, it's getting amazing reviews, Killer by Proxy? Is that the one? Or the
Killer.
Is that two things or two separate
A Killer's
things?
Paradox. Well, there's a Shop for Killers, and then there's a Killer's
Shop
Paradox.
For Killers. That's the one that I think
is we're going to do. We're going to do Shop for Killers.
I loved a Shop for Killers. Like,
Is it done?
Loved it. Okay.
I don't think it's a spoiler. I think it's, look, there's going to be another season, most likely.
I think there's going to be another season, but I will say, like, you can watch the first eight episodes. Like, I still enjoyed watching the first eight episodes fine. Like, I loved it. I was massively entertained. It was like, to me, it's like, it's very John Wick ish. If you like John Wick.
Never tell. Like, Hellbound came out like 3 years ago, and like, season two is coming this year. Like, you could never tell if they're like,
I know,
ever like, I don't think they ever planned for season two of Squid Game until it made a bajillion dollars and they were like, yes, sequel. Yeah.
I think A Shop for Killers, they always meant to. I don't know why they didn't just tell us up front, just because there's no way they wrote that and they're like, yeah, this is done. Like, it's just not. And I have hope because the star is Lee Dong Wook and he is obviously massively famous. Like, he's like one of the top actors. So I feel like if he wanted to do a second season, they would all be like, okay.
He is like the Korean version of Cillian Murphy. Like, he's so indifferent to interviews and his fame and like social media, and he's just like, I'm 40. Like, everything I see is like, he's like, I'm old.
I know. And he still looks freaking amazing, and he's so good. You would really like A Shop for Killers, I think. Yeah. I mean,
it's on my list.
Yeah,
I think loved like the Nine-Tailed Cat, the first one. I didn't watch the second one, but the first season of the Nine-Tailed Fox was great.
Oh, he's...
I like that girl, too. Everything she's in, I really like.
Jo Boa is her name.
Yeah.
I just remember her name because it's easy to, like, I like saying it. Jo Boa. Yeah. So that's why I always remember.
She was
remember.
In, like, a military romance where they were prosecutors. It was really good.
That was on Bohyun. He's my favorite. So, yeah, that was Military Prosecutor Doberman. And, yeah, she played alongside An Bohyun, who is...
He's very diverse.
Love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays kind of anything, and I think he's
great. I mean, I know who he is, but, like, I didn't really know who he was until he was dating the girl from Blackpink, and then he was everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
So, I take it you have not seen Yumi Cells. This is a controversial drama that
I
happen to...
Oh, no, I won't watch it. I think it's stupid.
No. Okay. Well, you know what? You can yuck my yum if you would like. That's fine.
But I don't like it because, like, before I watched it, I tried to read some of the webtoon because if it comes from a webtoon, I always try and find the source material to see if I'll like it. Because honestly, I don't have unlimited time to, like, watch something I might not like. And I didn't like the webtoon. So I can say I thought the webtoon was stupid. I didn't watch
You know what?
The show.
You are. Megan and I have had some intense conversations in the past about me saying that I thought things that she liked were dumb. And I had to sit with my reflection and be like, I am sorry I called the thing you like dumb. But yeah, there was, I really liked Yumi Cells. It's just the issue is that the third season needs to happen to finish the story. That's all I'm going to say there. Yeah. But a question I have is something like we talk about sometimes just through like using like the writer perspective is if you could like Frankenstein, just like a short plot, like what would be like the drama that you're like, I need this. Why don't I have it?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I always like enemies to lovers. So like anybody that's got good like chemistry that you can, you know, put that together. And, like, I feel like they already do it. Like, I always like, a really rich character and a really poor character. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, since we were talking about Death's Game, like, that premise, if I could write that, if I had that kind of skill to, like, write a consecutive story of all these different lives and how they connect piece to piece to piece to get to the final like redemption arc. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not smart enough to do that. I mean, I fully can say, like, I'm a pretty good writer. I am not that good of a writer. But like, it has everything. I mean, it had romance, it had action, it had suspense, it had supernatural, it had thriller. Like, yeah, I mean, but I think they, most dramas pull stuff together. I mean, truthfully, if you were going to say, what would I write if I wrote a K-drama, it would be something like Duna or Nevertheless. Like, that's what I write already. So, right. Like, you know, I think,
yeah,
probably.
I like that.
Yeah, I also agree. Desk Game was so smart. Like, just that's, I totally agree. I'm like, how do they write, like, connecting so many different storylines is always something I wish I could do.
I mean, I just finished True Detective, and I also felt the same way about that. Like, I wish I was smart enough to write. I mean, that is like a, that's like an epic story spanning, you know, huge concepts over four seasons. But I said, I'm a pretty good writer, but I am not necessarily the smartest writer. And I don't think I'm intelligent enough to tackle stuff like that.
Yeah. You know, we've always said that we want more idol romances.
Yeah. And bodyguard idol romances. Yeah. Like, that's,
we want, both Leah and I have been like pounding this drum about wanting, yeah.
But they don't necessarily do that well. Cause like, there was idol romance that had literal idols in it, like ATs in it, and it mm-hmm. tanked. Like,
I know, I don't get it. I don't know. I mean, cause like, that's maybe.
So I think about like, so Our Beloved Summer came, like Our Beloved Summer kind of dabbled in it a little bit for me. And that was when I was like, I just want a lot more of this. And, but not as like the second female lead, kind of like the wishy-washy, and you know, it's never going to be like endgame plot. Like, I actually was like, but I like the idea of like the dating, the secrecy, the drama, because for us in the West, like looking over at like the amount of privacy and secrecy, it feels very different. And
so weird. Like, I think it's so weird.
It is. It's a weird industry.
And it's a difficult, like, for me being a fan in the West, like, no, I don't need to, like, you don't need to give me like your whole dossier of like what you're up to, what you ate, who you fucked today. Like, that's okay. You can have your life. Mm-hmm. But the fact that like folks have to hide so much of just like their truth, like, that's the part that like just feels like it would get very, very intense. That's, and who crazy. Was the actor? Oh my God, why did I just completely blank on his name? This is embarrassing, but give me a second.
Mm-hmm. Song Joong-hee?
No, oh God, not no. I've got an issue with him. Hang on. well, I do. I feel like he like threw his ex under the bus and tried to, yeah, anyway. I'm sorry. I apologize. Kim Sun-ho. From like 2 Days, 1 Night, the variety show, but also Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha.
Yeah.
So when he had his like, quote, dating scandal, it like derailed his career. And there was like, you know, a lot of kind of like yucky texts that came up and like, you know, abortion. There was just like a bunch of drama. But the fact, a lot of it was, is that he was having to like hide the fact that he had a girlfriend from the public eye. And this is like a 35-year-old man. And I get, like, if you want your privacy and you want to be discreet, but that's not what this was. This was, like, my career will actively suffer if I'm seen. And, like, the fact that we call, like, they're even called scandals, like, dating scandals. It's, like, they're just dating. Like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that you could screw up when you're, like, literally a 6-year-old in elementary school and somebody will come back and be like, that kid pushed me. Then, like, it ruins your whole career as an adult. It's nuts to me. Like, I don't understand. There's zero grace given to anybody in the public eye. It's,
but I would like to see that tackled.
Yeah. But I don't think it's not just Korean idols. It is prevalent in the Thai BL culture. None of them are allowed to actually be straight. Like, it's super, super prevalent in China. Like, you do one thing wrong, like, a super famous guy was invited to a wedding in Japan and took a picture and there was like a flag of Japan in the back. His entire career was ended.
Oh my
like,
God.
It's not just a South Korean thing. Like,
no. Yeah. Asian, and I don't think that, but I would like to see the media grapple with.
Eastern media is just, it's relentless. Like, I don't know how those kids that debut when they're like 13 and 14, I don't know how they do it. Like, I don't know. I was a mess when I was a teenager. Like, I couldn't imagine living my life and trying to grow to adulthood in the public eye like they do. It's got to be freaking terrible.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't even have Facebook when I was in high school.
Same. Same.
Yeah.
Like, I know Rebecca. I've known her forever because we were neighbors. She's got a bunch of little kids. And they've always been a very close-knit, like, normal, you know, nuclear family. Like, I wonder now that her kids, like, you know, like, you can't turn around without seeing Rebecca somewhere. So I always wonder how it's affecting not her older kids. So just to throw that out,
you're talking about Rebecca Yarros.
Yeah.
So,
right, author of The Fourth Wing.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing happening in writerdom right now.
Number one New York Times bestselling author. Yeah, she's Jay's neighbor. We're an incestuous bunch, us romance authors. We all know each other.
Not my neighbor anymore, but in my
state. Right. Right.
It's, but yeah. Because I just wonder how her kids, like, how do they go to school?
I've actually thought
online about that. And they're inundated with just their mom everywhere and, like, the good and bad, because people are just people and the internet is just the internet. So, like, internet's gonna internet, like, you know.
Yeah, I've actually thought about that too. Now that her books are her everywhere, I was like that too. I was like, oh my god, I wonder.
And especially because she comes from a military family where, like, everyone was secret, because her, you know, spouse had, like, this high-ranking secret, super secret military job, to, like, now have your whole life on the internet. Like, it has to be crazy. Wild.
I know. I you know, and I think that. As far as key dramas, I liked Duna because I felt like it was handling more of, like, the mental health aspect of what that culture kind of creates. And I guess, you know, I kind of want to see more of that. But, you know, because, like, I think right now we are getting a lot of, like, bullying. So we are seeing a lot of dramas addressing that and everything. And I like that. And I think that that's, you know, creating more awareness, especially for Korea. But I guess I want to see, kind of the idol situation tackled. I don't know.
Have you seen, did you watch I Married an Anti-Fan? Not the movie with the guy from EXO.
I started it. Show? I did. I dropped it.
Yeah. I mean, because that's an idol romance.
Right? Yeah. And she's an idol. She's beautiful.
I do remember that subplot from Our Beloved Summer, and I like the subplot. Like, remember, like, I really liked the,
yeah, like, you did like a second female lead SOS. So we have a conceit we do, Jay, where we every so often, when we feel like we have the capacity, we'll do we'll take a second lead from a drama who we feel like was done dirty by the plot, and then we'll write them, like, a drama where they get to have their time to shine and get, like, their HEA.
Yeah, and so Megan did Syndrome, man, for real.
Yeah. So Megan, so we call did it second lead SOS. Oh, I did. Yeah, I did do her, didn't I?
And Megan did her. Yeah.
I liked her.
Yeah, I liked her a lot. So, and I mean, again, all the caveats to say, of course, our own media is deeply fucked up. We have all sorts of, I mean, I can't even handle what gets done to, like, I'm not a Swiftie. That doesn't even matter. I'm, like, a human being. Like, the shit that happens when we just, like, put our heroes on pedestals and then just, like, relentlessly fuck with them is not great.
The internalized misogyny towards Taylor is outrageous.
Wild to me. And, like, so that's the thing, is, like, I don't care if I'm a Swiftie or not. It doesn't give a shit. She makes $1 billion as a woman in entertainment. Like, I'm gonna stand that no matter what.
Yeah. Same.
Yep.
Yeah.
We agree. So, I don't know. Is there anything you'd like to add, Jay? Maybe
anything we haven't asked you that we should?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I think that, like, if you're a romance writer or a romance reader, you should look into K-dramas and, like, just romance coming from different parts or different view from the Western view. Like, I don't like them, but, like, people love those Turkish soap operas, man.
Yes.
Like, they love them.
I've heard.
Like, just to see, like, what difference. Oh, or, like, because of New Adult, like, I watched the first few seasons, but again, I can't follow season to season. But the first couple seasons of Elite out of Spain, unbelievable.
I have also seen clips of that. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. No, I mean, agree. It is cool to see different perspectives. Because I have
a book getting turned into a movie in the new adult realm, I'm a little bit more familiar with, like, that. But, like, it's happening a lot. Like, on Netflix that Through My Window. That was a Spanish new adult novel. And it was like the top movie on Netflix for like 4 weeks. Right. Or the one on Amazon about stepbrother and sister. Where do they think that trope came from? Yeah. But it's an Italian new adult romance. And it has a fandom like Anna Todd's After fandom. It's huge. So it's not just American ideas of romance and romance novels that are finding a place in media and TV and film. Like, it's global romance is having.
And I guess what right, you're and like that. And so here's the thing. Yes, yes. And we should be like looking beyond our borders all the time anyway, because we are such an like insular country. And always just pretend like we're the best at everything and we're not. Clearly we're fucking up romance TV, clearly. Like, drop the ball there. And so yes, we should be like looking and seeing like more of like global romance. And then also, I think it just, to me again, just, I'm just gonna keep manifesting and saying, when are we gonna win in this country? Are we gonna be like, yeah, the whole world is hungry for these kind of like, you know, one season intense love story? Like, and that's the thing is like, I am stoked for you to have a book be a movie. I would be even more stoked for you to get like a 16 episode drama, like that's just gonna like milk out like all the good stuff.
I mean,
because movies are awesome and they hit their beats and they do their thing, but it's really fun to do those like longer invested arcs.
It's, I think it just comes down to like the marketplace and the money invested. It's a lot. Like mine in particular could have gone to series. Like I said, there was stuff happening before the pandemic, but like the intent was to make a franchise, the first romance franchise, like the Marvel franchise out of my series, but then the strikes happened. So now I don't know that everybody's shooting that big because all my books are the same characters, but different leads, kind of like Marvel. So that's what they were like using as the archetype. But I said things, I don't, you know. The strike really impacted a lot of creativity and finance, so we'll see.
You know, you just keep manifesting this shit. It's going to come back. Yeah, just be
that
like...
That sounds badass. Like, like that... Come on, like, Hollywood and, like, Western media. Like, that is more what we want.
Yeah. I mean, when does anybody in charge ever listen to...
No.
I think part of the problem, like, the honest problem, it's, like, you're women who write...
Yeah, no, that's...
For women.
This is
and are constantly under... Like, I don't know. Like,
no,
nobody wants to think we make the most money in books. They want to be like, no, Stephen King and James Patterson do. But they don't.
They don't.
We do.
I mean, you look at the best-selling books of 2023, 14 of those books belong to two women, Rebecca and Colleen. Like, there were dudes there, but much smaller amount than women. And it's like, written for women, enjoyed by women, promoted to women, funded by women. So everyone doesn't want to be like, that's not the audience. Well, who are they? What kind of money
do they
have?
Well, it's because the people, and it's the people,
it's
because unfortunately we have this like real disconnect and the people making so many of these decisions end up being men. And look, I'm in my misandry era. I made a New Year's resolution this year to try to like men better. I really did. I like was like, my New Year's resolution is to be like, don't just see a man and be like, what do you want? God, what don't you see here? And that, look, again, I like men. I
you're married to one.
I'm gonna, yeah, but I'm not, I'm done with fucking cookies for mediocrity. And I'm sick of sitting here trying to be like, hey, can you please see this giant audience that wants to give people money? And this is our joy and this is our time. And we want to like invest it in the shit that is going to make us happy.
Yeah. I think it's because we're always in a position of having to prove that we're worth, that we're worthy. Mm-hmm. And men aren't. Men just are. Like, they just are worthy and they just have worth. And like, they've never had to like prove themselves or, you know, convince someone of their value just based on their gender, where we do always. Mm-hmm. Forever with everything. So I think that's why romance doesn't have a built-in audience.
It does. And the other thing that I love so much is like, I'm not gonna like try to unplug my mic and move my camera around because that'll just fuck everything up. But like, I have made like the shrine here at my office. It's like a full BTS shrine. And I
can see
really,
behind you.
Yeah, you can see like a taste, but I mean, it's really, it gets pretty wild on the sides.
That's okay. And I have an entire NCT room.
Amazing. So what I love, though, is I love when men come to my because I have an apartment on campus. I love them and come into the space and they start to be like, what do you like? Like, you get asked these like pointed questions, like, what do you like here? Or like, there's a lot of just kind of like judgment laden things. And I really enjoy when there's just something that's like, this is just not for you then. Like, yeah. This is not about you, for you. And if you're not going to be curious or interested, like, I could give literally half a shit. And so it's just like, I do find like becoming a K-pop fan also just, it's problematic in the sense of like, I do sometimes worry about like the pressures and like the toxic culture that we're contributing to in the fandom. But then there is part of me that feels like it is just like a repudiation of so much of what we're seeing is like the like values of like the toxic masculinity that just is not serving us in the West.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I was reading something today about like how archetypal and heteronormative Taylor Kelce and Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift's romances, like they are the hallmark of
yes.
white Americana. And because they are, the far right is trying to rewrite what a masculine alpha man is because Travis Kelce embodies all of that, but he's nice and he's considerate and like
and he vaccinates
and he's vaccinated. And they're like, if he was a real man, he would have that billionaire pop star pregnant in the kitchen. Like, what? You're just trying to move the needle from what you've always considered as a prototype man, because the one who is currently that in the eyes of America isn't fitting your fucking gross narrative. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and like, and truly mostly is too. That's the shocking part. Like, truly mostly gets most of those alpha like male things down. He just happens to like, yeah,
be vaccinated.
Be vaccinated and like be able to like poke fun, like be able to be on SNL as like straight best friend.
Yeah.
Like there's like it's a low. It's the bar is
and he like cry low. He cries apparently about like because he loves his mom. So apparently now all of a sudden that's like, you know, we can't be crying.
I mean, it's just interesting how whatever is popular in cultural lexicon shifts the viewpoint and like talking points of things that should have nothing to do with pop culture, that should do with the betterment of society and the functioning of our existence. But no, let's focus on something that's on the fucking TV and like has sway and pull, like mm-hmm. instead. Like, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love how we started talking about K-dramas and just went full like,
well, this is the
haven't
beauty.
You ever been on a panel with me? Like, by the end, I'm always aggro about like women's rights or something, yeah. Like go flaming feminist. Like.
But this is the thing, is I feel like K-drama becomes this in many ways. And it K-pop is, to, right. to me is that like it's a place of respite and rest where I can come take the rate. Because before this, what I was doing before I got into this is I had gotten obsessive into prepping because I was like, oh my God, the fucking world is ending. And I was crying in my garage about mass shootings all the time. I'm still not happy about, like, that's still all fucked. But, like, I need to have some space that I can go to because otherwise the system wins and I just become, like, a burned out marshmallow scrap.
K-pop was really, like, I'm hyper-focused. I think I have undiagnosed ADHD.
Oh, yeah,
hyper-fixation. So, like, K-pop really was that for me, too. Like, it was... You've got to learn all these names and you got to learn all these faces and you got to like learn the different fandom and you've got to like, it was very much a very nice distraction. I mean, I liked it before the pandemic, but when everything shut down and everybody was really isolated, especially because like most of my friends don't live in the same state as me. Mm-hmm. It was also like a fun way to connect. Like I literally forced everybody to pick a bias, even though they could care less. Like everybody had to pick a bias. But they couldn't pick mine.
I love that so much. You're like, just get into this with me, okay?
Literally. My friend Beth in New York, I made her take me because, like, I don't live in New York. I live in a state that barely has mass transportation.
I know.
So I made her take me to City Field to see BTS. I like all the pictures of it. She's got earphones in. like her fingers in her ears, and she's just like looking at anywhere but the stage. But she totally went with me and like stayed with me for the whole concert, even though she was like clearly not into it. Aww. I learned that you're not supposed to talk to people on the subway that day, because like everybody was going to the field and everybody had army bombs and everybody had like BT stuff. So I was like, these are people I could talk to. She was like, don't talk to strangers on the subway. That's not allowed.
It's allowed if it's army.
It's totally allowed.
Once you're in the fandoms.
Not New York.
But you could talk to me.
Yeah. Yeah. When I went to see ATs, it was so funny because like they play in Newark, New Jersey. Okay. And it's not like a big, I mean, it's a, they have an airport and stuff, but yeah, they play in an arena. Well, I just mean like the kind of city itself isn't like massive. So like if something's playing at the Prudential Center, like it's pretty obvious, like, you know, like, so the concert would start and it's just this like mass exodus of people from the hotels surrounding the arena heading towards the arena. And they're all wearing black and like combat boots, but then also glitter and holding the lightini, which is like the AT's light stick. And it's hysterical because it's like this, just like we look like an army, like, because it just, everyone's like dressed similar and we're all like it was always like a really fun
try being an
thing.
NCT fan and everything is neon green,
right?
You're crazy.
I know, what a color. I know.
Or Mamamoo has like the radishes, and then I just got the, I like Epic High a lot. And so I've got the
middle finger.
Yeah, I want to like reach and grab it. So I've got the middle finger, and they're going to tour again, which is going to be amazing because I've seen them twice now, and they got fucking college to pay for or something for their kids, because they just like keep coming, and I love it.
I'll watch them. I think I'll go.
It is, and I mean, like, here's the other thing: they're grown.
Yeah, these are grown men. Yeah.
And whatever Tablo does to his skin, I don't know. It's amazing. I've seen him close the pores. I mean, he's really done something. I love a man who looks after his skin. Holy shit.
Right.
Well, if you ever get a chance to go see The Rose and want to see him.
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen The Rose a few times.
Yeah. I have a big crush on Kim Woo-sung. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. I like Ha-joon. Yeah. Amy loves Woo-sung. I love the drummer Ha-joon a lot. I switched biases the last time I saw them, because of his black leather pants. And I'm not normally a black leather pants girly. It just got me on that day.
They changed one of the characters in my book's ethnicity to Asian. And they were like, give us a list of who could be this character. So he was at the top of my list. And the movie people reached out, but The Rose has been on tour forever. So I was like, no, I can't do it. And I was like, ah!
Oh my God, I would have died.
Yeah, his voice is so beautiful.
I was like, I would like him, please. Like,
Well, thank you for that that reel, you know, years ago of Taeyang, because
changed Megan's entire life.
It did. It changed the entire course of my life, because then I got into K-pop, and then because of K-pop, I got into K-dramas. So you did it with that reel, Jay. And
I am the mayor of Penn State.
And then that changed my life.
Because I'm the one who got you into K-pop.
Well, so I got my daughter into Stray Kids.
Oh, that's
because that was like her thing, because I've got like a tweenager, and she fell hard for Stray Kids. And I was like, this is fine. Like, I'm into it. And then I got her tickets to see BTS. And then I was like, get the fuck. Like, I love you. You can do whatever you want. This is just my thing now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know if you know this about me, but I am a trendsetter.
I just realized this is like one of those weird Kevin Bacon things that all came back to you tonight.
Mm-hmm. It did. And it really did, because that's, it all started.
I mean, it's true, because I've had readers of Megan's be like, oh, you know, Megan's mentioned that she got into K-pop, like Rachel, and now she's like way more into it than like a lot of people. And I'm like, you could thank me. I have the key to the city.
Yeah, I know. I know that there are romance like bloggers on Instagram who like now listen to our, like, they're like, you know, they know who you are. They like had followed me, and now they're listening to our podcast because
nice.
Like, it's just, yeah, it's like this like progression.
So, I mean, really, you have to thank whoever that author is, whose name I can't remember is, and G-Dragon, because we wouldn't be here without Fantastic Baby.
Thank you. Dance, there. Well, we are going to list everything in the show notes about Jay, so you can follow her. What is your the last book you put out, though? Because you did just release a book.
Wayward Son.
That's it. So you can check that out on Amazon. But like I said, check all the links, check out Jay Crownover, follow her on her socials. We will tag them all so you can follow movie news, book news, because she's always doing something new. And I want to read that Marriage of Convenience one you have writing.
Should be out probably at the end of April, early May.
Oh, really? That soon? Okay.
You say that soon. I feel like it's taking so long.
do you have a title yet?
Yeah, it's going to be called The Silence of Monsters.
Ooh, that's compelling.
I'm excited. You said it's like a gothic thriller?
I mean, it's like, it's gothic because it's like set in like a fictitious New England town. So it's like really dreary and it's very old money, like billionaire, like
nice.
It's like the main guy is a billionaire who hates being a billionaire, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, well, I think that sounds great.
Thanks for having me. It was very fun. Yeah. I don't normally get to talk about all the nonsense stuff I like in my life.
Right? Well,
we are a safe place for hyperfixation.
Yeah, we celebrate that here. We celebrate what brings you joy. That's kind of our biggest thing, too, is like, look, there's no guilty pleasure. If you like it, you like it.
If you ever invite me back, I'm not coming unless you both have watched Veronica Mars.
Okay.
All right. That's a good
deal.
We'll do it.
Yeah, we understand. Well, so just so you know, when we sign off, we say Anyang. So you can
say...
do
that. I can't pronounce none of those things.
So, yeah, thanks again, Jay. And till next time, everyone, we will see you soon.
Anyang. Bye.
Okay, Anyang.
Kamsahamnida. Thank you for listening to Afternoon of Delight. Where can you find us outside the pod? Head on over to afternoonadelight.com. That's afternoonadelight.com. You'll find links to all our social media, our book recs, K-pop and K-skincare recs, and if you want even more Afternoon of Delight, because really who doesn't, you can join our Patreon, where you can choose the patron level that's right for you. Join in daily K-drama conversations, listen to bonus podcast episodes just for patrons, and participate in our monthly live K-drama support group via Zoom. We can't wait for you to be a part of the community. Until next time, annyeong!